Well, let's pray and then we'll bring the Word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the blessings you've given us. God, we thank you for the good Sunday school class this morning. God, you taught us and you encouraged us and gave us some direction. And we thank you for the preached Word of God this morning. Lord, it blessed our hearts to feel your Spirit. And we thank you for the fine song that Brother Ballou's daughter sang, Lord. That was beautiful. But, Lord, now we ask that you help us to feed your people. God, I don't know what to do or how to stand. I never have. And I've trusted in you. So I ask you tonight to clothe us in that calling you gave us so long ago, Lord. Set us behind the cross of Calvary and let them see Jesus, my Father, in the message. And God, help us to leave here different than when we came, closer to you. Now, I don't know about the rest of you preachers here, but in the last couple of months, I've been getting more questions on end times than I ever have before. People are shook. Even seems like lost people that shouldn't be worried about it, they sense that something's going on here, that something's making such a drastic change and such a drastic move that even they can notice it. And so they asked us questions. And I guess those who've been around a while realize this is not the America that we were born into. This is not the America that we were raised in. It's far from it, amen? And as we begin to think on it, we realize that this country has changed its ways. It's changed the way that it acts, and it's changed the way of its thinking. As a matter of fact, the more I look at it and the more I see the things that they're thinking about and the answers they're giving to things, the more I believe they've lost their mind. Amen. This is not sound thinking in this country anymore. And because they've changed their way of thinking, they changed their moral compass. America used to be a country that was one nation under God, and we knew what God said about the Word of God, and we stood upon it. But when they changed their way of thinking, and then they changed their moral direction, this country became vile and wretched and wicked as it could be. And you don't have to go around just trying to find out where it's at. They're in your face with it nowadays. And it ought not to be. And then when they changed their moral compass, America changed its direction. Opposite of God. My goodness, even when I was a lost person, I knew that there was a God. And I respected people that God said they knew God and were saved by God. But there's no respect for God at all in America anymore, except in small pockets of God's people. And it's a disturbing time. In 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5, the Apostle Paul describes this time, this world that we live in. Let's just read that together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and my Bible's getting so it's getting stuck together. Verse number 1 says, "This know also in the last days that perilous times shall come." That's dangerous, but I believe it also means hard times. Hard times have come. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." We're right in the middle of that. "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, feared, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." That's why you don't see the house of God full anymore. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And he goes down to verse 13, and he says this, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You don't have to be a scholar of God to realize that's describing this time in which we live. Now, knowing this, knowing that we are in the final days, knowing that this has just described the country that we were born into and grew up in, knowing that that is now at hand, I guess the question is, what should we do? What should we do? Most Christians are trying to just sit it out and just sail on in and just stay below the radar as much as they can. Now, knowing this, I believe we should stay with what we had, with the Word of God, with what the old preachers used to preach, with what our grandmothers and our grandfathers and all those stood for. What was wrong back in the beginning is still wrong today. What was right in the Word of God back in the beginning is still right today. It's no change, no turning, no compromising. We need to take a stand because God's about to return to get His church. In Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse 16, it says, thus saith the Lord. Now, that ought to be enough to get our attention right there. When somebody stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, and we can back it up with the scripture, we ought to be paying attention to what's going on. It says, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Now, it started out with the word stand, didn't it? Now, a very, very simple word, but it says stand ye in the ways. Now, what does the word stand mean? If you're going to do something, you ought to know what it is, right? Well, first of all, it means to move your feet from a sitting position and a low position and stand up. The church has been sitting for far too long. The church has taken the low position far too long. The church should never take the low position because we just happen to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And tell me why a Christian would think we ought to sit down and hush up and take the low spot in this world. It's contrary to what God would have. Says, stand ye in the ways and see. Folks, see what? See what God says about things. You talk to Christians and they'll try to tell you what the Word of God says, but they don't live what the Word says. They don't see how it really is. They don't see that God is narrow-minded in the way He thinks people should be. And they go away from it. So it says, stand ye in the pass and see, and ask for the old pass. Boy, I miss the old time preaching that used to be here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad this is still a church that preaches the gospel, gun barrel straight, and it doesn't vary off to any new things. You know, they got away from the old pass and the old ways, and when they did that, we started getting new Bibles. Well, new Bibles are absolutely useless when you can't start somewhere and run the references and come up to what really says the Word of God. Amen. You know, when I was single, I was a pretty good cook, believe it or not. I got tired. I didn't get married to Kathy until I was 28, and I got tired of McDonald's and stuff like that. And so I got me a cookbook or two out. They didn't have it on TV back then, and I started experimenting. And I found out I was a pretty good cook because all my friends started coming over. I mean, it's like they had a smell, a thermometer or something, and to my door they came. And so I would get the first bowl out because I tasted it before they came. I thought, I'm going to find out what it really tastes like. And I ate it, and I thought, boy, that's robust. Huh? I said, that's good. Tom, you cooking good now. But I might get one friend come in. Then another friend, 20 minutes later, another one, and then another one, and another one. And I find myself having to go back to that pot of robust soup that I really enjoyed the first bowl out of. And I thought, I've got more people in faith, so I started to water it down a little bit. Somebody else come in, a little more water and stir. Had no choice. Is that or tell them go to McDonald's? Another one to come in, a little more water and a little more stir and throw a little salt in, hope it's doing some good. And before I knew it, I tasted that robust soup that I was so proud of, and it was so watered down that I couldn't stand it. And that's what they've done to the Word of God. They take it, they change it, they water it down, they take the good out of it, they get the taste out of it, and people read a Bible that does not have every single word God meant for it to, and it watered it down. We'd have been much better off to stay with the old ways and the old past. God didn't need help with the Word of God. He wrote it. He meant to write it exactly the way it was. He moved on men of God to pin it down, and He blessed it. And then we get this new Bible. Now we've got a watered-down Bible, a watered-down religion, a watered-down country, watered-down families, watered-down everything in this world. Except for those that still stick to that pure, blessed Word of God. He said, Brother Tom, you sound like you're upset. Well, I am. I don't like the way this country's went. And I look forward to God to come and take us out of here. But until then, we're to occupy. We're to do the work of God. Folks, don't you think it's high time God's people quit sitting down in the low place and being quiet? We kept so quiet, we had a lot of things take place that we own it. We own it. You know, I've always been told that the greasy wheel gets the grease. And that's exactly what happened. Some people spoke up, made more noise. Before you know it, America's in a mess. We don't have right worship. We don't even know now. Now, this is what happens when God's people stay quiet. We've got ourselves in a mess right now where men don't know what they are. If you told me that, Pastor, I'd come to a day when men didn't know they were men and women didn't know they were men, women, and that somebody could be transgender and be something in the morning, something different at noon, and go back to being something else at night. That's crazy, folks. I heard somebody talking about, they saw a young man, go in a woman's bathroom. And I told him, I said, I'm 67 years old. And I don't want to fight now. I said, I'm not near as quick as I used to be or tough as I used to be. I said, but if somebody with a beard goes in behind my granddaughter or my daughters or my wife, I said, they're not going to get through the door. I'm going to say, you and I are going to take a walk over in that door where you belong. And Pastor Austin, I'm sorry. You'll probably, if that ever happens, you'll get bad report on me because something bad will happen to somebody who didn't know what they were. And that's just my family. I don't allow that. I think it's time we quit being in the low position. It's time. Isn't it time to fight a good fight? I mean, isn't it time to run the race on the course God called us? Isn't it time to finish well? Well, I started a lot of things when I was younger. I meant well, but I didn't get to the end of it. But brother, by the grace and the power of God, I aim to finish this on the right side and not be an embarrassment to my Lord. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." I have Christians that see what's going on in this world, and they come to me and try to talk to me, and they got fear in their eyes. They look like they're afraid something bad's fixing to happen to them. God didn't mean for us to have fear. God meant for us to be bold about the gospel. God meant for us to take a stand. I mean, after all, I don't get it. Somebody says, well, what do you think? What if they take your life? I said, well, I'll live till I live and then I'll die. I said, when I die, I'll go to home to be with the Lord. I said, I don't worry about death. And they said, well, I wish I was at that point. I said, well, you don't know how to live until you're able to die. And I said, that's the bottom line. You'll never know how to do it. Now, the word stand is also used, means to endure or undergo successfully. Means to stand tall, to exhibit courage, to exhibit strength, to have, be calm even in the face of adversity. You know what's happened? A lot of people didn't stand tall. They didn't put on the brakes. They didn't stand the things that were coming against them. And you can't find them now. They're not in the house of God. They're not preaching the word of God. They're not doing the things of God. And it's because fear came into their eyes. I believe the Bible says not to fear he who can kill the body, right? Yeah, right. But it can kill the body and the soul. Well, Brother Lawson, I believe that. I believe everything this Bible says, and I believe it. It also says in see, means open your eyes. Isn't it time we opened our eyes? We're walking around blind when God gave us glasses to see well with. You don't have to walk around blind. You don't have to walk around wondering what's happened. You've got the Word of God, and if you'll only bury your nose into it and ask God to show it to you, you'll see exactly what's going on and what He'd have us to do. It says, see, open your eyes. You know what? Don't let Satan tell you a lie. You know what he's done? He's told God's people we're losing. That ain't true. How are we losing? We're watching him, thinking he's winning, set into effect exactly what God intended to do, and we're closer now to seeing Jesus than we ever were. Yeah. Hey, folks, you're winning, you just don't realize. You're buying a lie. You're buying a lie. We're winning. It says, ask for the old path. I never got to hear my grandfather, but he was a farmer, and they came from a big family, and he never got to go to school. He did. My grandfather signed an X, but yet my grandfather was a preacher. And what he did, and I may have told you this before, but I'd like to tell you again, because my grandfather was one of my heroes. He would take his children, and he had several of them, and he'd set them on his knee, and they'd read him the Word of God. Now, he couldn't write a lick. He couldn't take down any notes. He couldn't record it any other way than here. And because he would stand, and because he was called to God to preach the Word of God, he must have memorized it, brother. I don't know, but he must have memorized it. And he preached the Word of God so hard that my uncle, who was a preacher, said it scared him when he was a boy. I mean, bareback back and just preached. And when my uncle heard that I was called to preach, he gave me that Bible that my grandfather had. Thin leather. Pages falling out of it. And that thing's precious to me. That's got my grandfather all in it and over it. And you can see where that thing was used. And yet I go to see some people. They've got Bibles sitting there like just as new as it was the last time I seen them. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to find out what the Word of God says. The pure Word of God. And we need to imitate those that walked before us. I tell you, there's a lot of men that stand up saying they're preaching the Word of God, and they got a smile on their face, and 10,000 people's giving them plenty of money to live on. Now, I don't know what you think about Joel Osteen. I may get you in trouble, but I don't trust anybody smiling all the time. I just don't. It ain't natural. But I guess if I was fleecing your back pocket, I might be smiling too. Amen. Brother Lawson, if they get on to you for that, just tell them that was me. I live on Texas Solid Road. All right. Anyway, we need to read that pure Word of God and study that Word of God and find out how those before us, that walked before us, find out the example they set and walk like they did. Do what they did. I believe we need to fear God, don't we? Not because we're scared to death of Him as a Father, but because He deserves it. He's awesome. There's nothing else like Him. Never will be. Well, I ought to have a fear of God. Well, I ought to love God. How can you not love somebody that provides for you every day of your life, that died for you when you were yet a sinner, that rose and ascended up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God the Father, makes intercession for you, preparing that place that Brother Lawson talked about. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, and I told you, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. When you said that, when you said He's still working on it, I thought, ooh, that's going to be some kind of place. Can you imagine the fella that just spoke, God that just spoke and it was? Can you imagine if he'd been working on something for 2,000 years? Yeah. Ooh, I can't wait. If I could shout, I'd shout a little bit better. But man, I can't wait. We need to fear God, trust God, and stay in His Word. And if you do that, you know what the Bible just told us? You'll find rest for your soul. You know something? I believe a lot of God's people got soul weary. Not so weary, but soul weary. If you want a good summary of what Jeremiah 6:16 is saying, I guess it's saying keep yourself in the center of God's will, where He can do all the good things He desires to do for you. You're always going to get blessed when you're in God's will. Amen? Always. Never going to be different. You'll be in God's will. Now, I'm going to tell you something now. You're going to think I'm crazy. Well, probably a lot of you do anyway. But folks, I asked God how come so many of His people were defeated and seemingly dead spiritually. I mean, that's an honest question. And I asked him a couple of times about that. And I was driving, I live out in the country. I mean, lane the half road most of the way. And I was driving up Tater Valley, and I asked him again. And I came across a possum almost in the middle of the road. Now, I got to think about that. I see possums almost in the middle of the road all over the place, and they're run over and they're dead. And I used to think possums must be the dumbest animal that ever walked on the face of the earth. I mean, they're laying all over the place. It's a good thing they reproduce well, or there wouldn't be a shortage of possums, right? They'd be extinct. But anyway, I asked God that, and He said, see that possum? You said, He say that to you out loud? No, He said it in my heart. He spoke to me. Said, do you see that possum? I said, yes, sir. It's almost in the middle of the road. And I told him that. And then I got thinking, well, everyone I see is almost in the middle of the road. And the sad thing is that most of the time it's in a straight stretch. Did you ever notice that? It's not like we snuck up on them with the car. They're in a straight stretch. Should be able to see, right? And yet they're laying run over all over the place. And I got thinking, now why is that? Why do so many possums get run over in the middle of the road? You know what the Lord told me? Because they see the headlights coming. What they do is they get up on that road and they look around. They say, I'm going to the other side. God evidently told them to go to the other side or they wouldn't go there, right? And what they do is they start out. 2/3 of the way. And they see
They see headlights about a quarter of a mile down the road. You know what they do? They hesitate. They freeze up and they lock up. Along comes the truck or the car, no more pause. He didn't make it.
Didn't make it. That's the way a lot of God's people are. God says, let's go a little bit further. Let's cross this road and I'll take you to another road. You know what God's people do? And the devil shines a light on them. They lock up their brakes. And they end up spiritually dried up and spiritually dead because they put the brakes on. God never called you. When he asked the disciples, said, let us go over the other side, they would have done the same thing. They'd been in the middle of the road and possibly been dead, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Because of hesitation and because not just starting what God called them, just zooming right on through with. And then I drove a little bit further. And I guess God thought, well, that was kind of a silly question, but I'm going to show you something now. And as I drove a little bit farther, up jumped a chipmunk over. Now that chipmunk decided he was going to cross the same road. I mean, same size road it was on a little farther back on it. But when I seen that chipmunk get on the edge of that road, he did not hesitate. He went from 0 to 100 miles an hour. And it was like he was daring me to run over him because he waited till the last minute. And I said, Lord, said, you see that? And I said, yeah, Lord, I saw it. I saw it. And then, sister, the next thing I knew, up pops another chipmunk. He gets up there and gets in his, I don't know if y'all ever ran tracks, but if you did, you know, he gets in his box. Boom, he's flashing the other one. And he let me get a little closer, brother. I thought, you're trying to get me to kill you. Couldn't touch him. And then I saw a third one. And God said, you know why you can't run over them? Why you don't see them on the edge of the road very often? I said, no, sir. He said, because they don't hesitate. He says, when I tell them to cross the road, he said, they cross it. He said, no looking back, no worrying about it. Wide open doing what I told them to do. He said, that's the way Christians are. That's why they don't have blessings. That's why they don't know what the will of God is. That's why they don't have power in their life. That's why they don't have peace in their life. That's why they don't have strength in their life. So I guess he wants me to ask this question. I'll try it. What kind of Christian are you? Are you a possum? Are you one of them? I mean, a possum that gets out there. They're probably not the smartest thing in the world, but they're not that dumb. Other than they lose faith about crossing the road. They see something ain't really there. Or are you them little chipmunks? God says, go. Do you go? No questions, Lord. Just take off and stick with God and do what he says. If you do that, you have power. Do that, God will get you over to the other side. God will use you more. God will give you a better ministry. God will help you. Now, Pastor, I'm pretty sure when he called you to preach, once you figured out it's him, you took off. I've heard you give the testimony. I knew what I was called to do. Same way with every person here. If you've got a ministry and it's done any good, then what you learned is that when God says hit the marks. Now, Pastor Lawson, I thought about bringing some hurdles in here. I ran behind those hurdles, but I fell on a rock trying to get a fish hooked up today, so I thought that probably wouldn't be wise now at 6, 7 years old. But what are you? Are you some kind of possum Christian that questions everything and sees things that aren't really there and hesitates? Or are you like those cute little old chipmunks? Are you going to trust God? Or are you going to hesitate and let the devil just stop you dead in your tracks? Now we've got a little time left here before the Lord comes, and I mean a little time. And God's calling us. He's saying get in the march. It's you're getting your marching orders right now. And you either sit still in a low place. You can live beneath what your Father has called you to live. Or you can stand up. And you set your feet. And he says, let's do this. Let's do this. Before I went to Haiti, a fella told me, so why are you going to Haiti? I said, well, God told me to. He said, well, what can you do now? They're having, people shooting people, and they've got the COVID, and he won't know what. He said, there's nothing you can do. And I said, well, I believe there must be, or God wouldn't be sending us. And so we go over, and Brother Lawson, if I hadn't been on that street preaching, that young man wouldn't have got saved. God did something when it looked like you couldn't do nothing. And those widows that was out of food, they'd be hungry because they didn't have food. And those peoples that came up to us and were sick and asked us would we pray with them, they wouldn't have got any peace or hope from anybody else because that was what God called us to do. Folks, don't question whether you can do something. If God says go, just take off and go. I fear one day when I get to the bema seat, I'm going to find out the things that could have been if I'd reacted just a little bit quicker. Amen. So I ask you, think about that. I know it sounded a little bit funny toward the end, but that was to get your attention. And I guess next time you see a possum or a chipmunk, you pay attention to that and you'll learn something. You will. You know, a lot of things I've learned from the Lord's been simple things with animals, just watching them. Just watching them. All right, now I'm going to pray with you. And if you've been holding back on the Lord, afraid to try to do something, come up here and trust Him. Get your track shoes on, get ready to run. If you've been dried up, why stay dried up? Get you a little water up here at the altar and leave here refreshed. Got somebody that's lost in your family and everybody says there's nothing you can do. Well, I'm proof there is. They kept praying for me and I got born again. And I ain't been the same since. All right, now I'm going to pray and then I'll let the pastor come up. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand tonight. Lord, that was kind of a strange ending to it, but God, I know that's the way you wanted it. And God, I ask that you take this simple message and God, that you touch the hearts of the people. And God, that you help them, my Father, realize they're not supposed to be low down and staying hid out there. They're your children, your sons, and your daughters. And God, you've trusted us with what I believe is, other than the resurrection of Christ, is the most important time in the world. You've entrusted us in the end times to be part of what you're doing and have an opportunity, Lord, to help you in the work. And I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we thank you and we love you, Lord. You're just too good to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.